Good evening.
Good evening, Ms. Malka.
How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. How are you? How's your evening?
I'm sorry?
How's your evening going?
Baruch Hashem, it's all good.
Hello?
Malka, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm hearing it.
I'm good.
Hello?
Hello. Come on.
Welcome. You made it back.
I made it back. You know, I do my best to do that.
Malka, is that?
Sir?
I'm getting some static, and so I'm not sure what the cause is.
It's following me. I'm trying to get a little dinner on the table, so let me mute, okay?
Please. Thank you. Okay. We're starting with Section 39, Luminous Bodies of the Firmament. Verse 161. Limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu karanei aleinu maasei yadeinu karaneihu. Yehi me'arot birkiya ha'shemayim li'aklala hiv yavisha yatel zuhama v'yavayed Uruda dila meshamesh mishimsha besichara meorot levavtin vialda garem teit latyayo aradiktiv arura adama ugin kach Me'orot kiti. The words, let there be luminous bodies in the firmament of the heaven, are for the inclusion of the evil serpent, who befouled and caused the separation between the sun and the moon. As a result, they are not able to mate. The word me'orot, luminous bodies, is therefore spelled without a vav, so that it means curses. The adjustment to the spelling is because the serpent caused the earth to be cursed, as it is written, cursed is the ground for your sake. That is, the serpent was the cause of the sin of the tree of knowledge, a consequence of which was that the earth was cursed. Hence it is written, me'orot, without a vav, which means curses. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Is the sun a metaphor for Tiferet and the moon a metaphor for Malchut?
Yes. And Tiferet is a metaphor for Zeron Pim.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I heard that the scientists have promulgated a theory that at one time the moon was had an iron core and had gravity similar to the Earth, and that somehow it got exploded, and that iron core dissipated out into space. So the moon has less, doesn't have the iron core anymore in it, and its gravity is less, and it moved closer to the Earth. So that the idea of the mating between the sun and the moon could have been affected in some way. You know, I'm not sure if the theory is right. I've never read it, but this is the first time I've read this thought that the sun and the moon are supposed to mate together, whatever that means in terms of these kind of you know, stars and planets.
Mm-hmm. Well, to me, I see it as a blockage from the flow of Shefa because of the serpent. Because the flow is coming down through Tiferet to reach, you know, and eventually through Yod, you know, to reach Malchut. And I've kind of forgotten my constellations, but seem like they're, you know, the serpent is between, I think, the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, or two of the other constellations, which is also a picture in the skies of the serpent trying to prevent the flow of Torah or whatever life, you know, to Malchut.
More expansively than that. The elsewhere in the Zohar, it says that it's the Milky Way itself that is the home of the serpent, and that's also said in the in chapter 6 of the Sefer Yetzirah, that it's describing it. It's the serpent is called the Tali, and basically no one really knows what that means today.
I remember we've had this word that I wrote before.
Yes, earlier in the first volume, and it was also telling us about the that Meir wrote without a vav means curses or cursed. Verse
16. Well, I suppose when all these vavs come back, you know how we don't have cholam vavs is what I call it in my class, you know, when we just have a cholam with just a dot without the vav there,
right,
that whenever these vavs come back, that'll be the end of the curses.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
But see, all the vavs are in the Torah. They're just the vavs that are connecting, that we translate as and, the vav at the beginning of a word. All of those are the vavs that are missing in all of these words throughout the Torah. Because once you have Mashiach and once you have the unity of everything, there's no need for an and. There's no need to make that sentence connected to the previous sentence or the parasha connected to the previous parasha, or anything like that. So, you know, that's where we have this machloket, where we have many sages who say the Torah will never change, and others who say the Torah will never change, but there's a Torah in the world of Atzilut that is somewhat different than the Torah we have here today.
Mm-hmm. I like to think that they're there in the white spaces and that we have to see them with, if you want to call it the third eye that we said yesterday, or your consciousness,
right,
that they're there. And so if you know they're there, you see them.
Understand.
In that, you know, I don't know, whatever that space is. I guess it's consciousness.
It's the white fire of the Torah is what it is.
Yeah, right.
That's what they refer to it as.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 162. Chad yehi meorot dasi hara rakia Hashemayim dashimsha v'tar vayhu biklala Chada v'izdavga li'an hara almin Leila v'tata mashma diktiv Al haaretz, velaketiv baaretz, demashma leela, witata hushvan, dekola besichara, hu. Let there be luminous bodies refers to one luminary, as it is spelled without the vav, connoting singular luminary. Is the moon, and the words the firmament of heaven refers to the sun. Thus the entire expression, let there be luminous bodies in the firmament of the heaven, indicates that both the sun and moon were coupled to illuminate the worlds, both above the chest of Zerunpin and below. It is written on the earth and not in the earth, to indicate radiance above and below, and to teach us that all calculations are done according to the moon. Questions, thoughts, comments?
Well, is it hinting to our calendar?
It is hinting to our calendar, except our calendar is not solely lunar. It balances between the lunar and the solar. It's the Muslim calendar is a totally lunar calendar.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not saying that all calculations are done according to the moon. On one level, it's referring to when the new moon announcements was done by a Bet Din, by a court, that would interview the witnesses to see what they saw. And that would establish the beginning of the month, the Rosh Chodesh. And mm-hmm. So then the rest of the calendars became very clear. You know, so like on Rosh Hashanah, you didn't know when Rosh Hashanah was because it would depend on whether they could see the moon in Israel, the new moon, and if not, then on the 31st day after the Rosh Chodesh of Elul, that was Rosh Hashanah. But it could have been the 30th day if they were able to see it. So once you establish Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, you establish Yom Kippur, and then you establish Sukkot. And mm-hmm. Shemini Atzeret, Hoshana Rabbah, and so forth. So I think that's on a minimal level, that's what that's referring to. But I mm-hmm. think it's more expansive than that, although I don't understand it.
Do you think in the previous verse, when it talked about the mating of the sun and the moon, that maybe it was referring to the 15th of the month? You know, when we
yes.
have the full moon and...
Yes, that's
okay.
Very well could be. And it could be hinting at the length of the day that would be defined by the sun and the moon. If they're coupled, then when the sun goes down, the moon rises, which is not perfectly true today. Sometimes there's a few hours of darkness where the moon has not yet arisen.
And some mornings you can still see the moon, because I know many
yes.
days when I'd be driving to
and
school.
Many days you can still see a shape of the moon,
mm-hmm.
that's clear.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that's being hinted in these words. Verse 163. Rabbi Shimon Amar Gimatriot Veheshbon Tekufot Veiburim Kolahu Besihara Dehalela Lavihu Amar Lo Rabbi Elazar Velah Vehakama Hushbenin Veshirin Kavde Havrayayo Amar Lo Lav Hake Ela Hushpana Kaima Besihara Umitaman Yao Barna Shleminda Leila Amar Lo Ehakiti Vehayu Leotot Umo Adim Amar Lo Lo Leotot Betiv Ketiv Chaser Amar Lo Hakiti Vehayu Amar Lo Chavyan Kalhon Dihawon Beya Keiskofa Da Titmalya Mikola Val Ushpena Dekola Besiharahu. Rabbi Shimon said that numerical measurements, determination of periods, and intercalculary calculations are all made according to the moon, because above the moon this mating cannot be found to radiate the mochin, in Aramaic, the spiritual light, of numerical calculations. Rabbi Elazar said to him, however, this is not so, as there are the mochin of calculations and measurements above the moon. For many calculations and measurements are made by our colleagues. But Rabbi Shimon explained that this is not what he meant. The mochin of calculation are made in the moon and not in any other level. Yet from this basis, a man may proceed further and grasp calculations in higher levels. Indeed, from there, a man may also proceed to attain the mochin of calculations from levels beyond the moon. Rabbi Elazar said to him, yet it is written, let them be assigns for seasons and days and years. This use of the plural indicates that the mochin of calculations is revealed both in the moon and even in the sun, which is there on Pin. Rabbi Shimon said to him, signs is spelled without a vav, indicating the singularity of the moon and excluding the sun. Rabbi Elazar said, it is written, let them be, indicating plurality, thus including the sun. Rabbi Shimon said, this is not said about the sun and moon, but about the phases of the mochin. They were all within the moon, which is like a boat filled with everything. But calculating them, all is done only according to the moon, not the sun. That's quite a bit. Questions or thoughts or comments?
Well, I kind of got from it that even though there was this blockage that we just learned about, that it was still possible for Malkut to rise up to the Mohin.
What I got the sense of it was you can make a calculation on a simple level. 2 plus 2 is 4. You know, 3 divided by 3 is 1, you know, simple arithmetic. Mm-hmm. But you also have other dimensions of calculations. You have a 10-dimensional field that the mathematics today is utilizing, that they're making the calculations for the 10 dimensions of the universe. And so
that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, I can see that with the idea of numerical measurements.
Right.
I get lost when it's a big long paragraph, especially, you know, not reading it ahead of time before class. So.
But that is, this verse is quite illuminating. It just, we need to contemplate what it's really saying.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 164. although the Gregorian calendar does go according to the sun. It's a 365 calendar, day calendar, which is what it takes to go around the sun.
Yes, I know that, but the idea that it was written in the Zohar before the calendar, the Gregorian calendar, came into being is, you know, every once in a while we catch some little something like that that's amazing.
Yeah, that is true.
The times. Explain a little bit more about the idea of a Rikuntin. That it's beyond that which is within, that is, and beyond our Rikuntin is completely unknowable. What does that mean, beyond Rikuntin?
Arihantin is a partsuf,
right,
for Keter.
Right.
But it consists of three parts. There's a concealed part, and then which is the Keter of the Keter, or the Keter of the Arihantin of the Keter. Then there is Chachma of Arihantin of the Keter. And then there is Bina. And Revelation starts with Bina. But what's above Bina, which is Chachma and Keter of Arihantin, this is concealed. This is unknowable.
Okay.
It's just code words for the different levels of the partsuf, because the three upper sephirot are always in unity. They never separate.
Right.
They're referred to as the Gimel Rishonot, the upper three, or the first three. So you have Keter, Chachma, and Bina that are always unified. But even within that unification, there is an aspect that is concealed, and then there is an aspect that is revealed, and then there is an aspect that's not yet revealed, but will eventually become revealed. What's unrevealed is the Keter level, what's revealed is the Bina level, and what is not yet revealed is the Chachma level that will eventually become revealed. And it's the same idea within man, as you have the consciousness of a man that's revealed. You have the unconsciousness of a man, and that's concealed, but eventually, as the man grows spiritually, all of his unconscious will become revealed. But then there's even a higher level, which we refer to as the Keter level, but that level will always remain unconcealed. I mean, will always remain concealed. It's never meant to be revealed.
I just not ever heard of the term beyond a Rikuntin. That was a new phrase to me.
Right. Well, I understand. And the only reason I understand that is because I've been doing some of the Zohar for the Parsha of Ha'azinu, which has some of this discussion about what is Arihantin.
Oh, good.
So we'll be doing that on Saturday night.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Violet this week. Oh, that's tonight.
That's tonight.
Tonight. Okay. So Hazina would be Otsi Shabbat. Yeah. Okay.
Right. You all have a good evening.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate
you
very much. Bye bye.
We will. Bye bye. We'll talk later.
Okay.
Bye bye.